This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our report with the Pope on Sunday and the other stories. That will be followed by our feature, The Family. I am John Baptist Tomosime. Pope Francis has reminded Catholics that our relationship with Christ is deeper than that of a master and a servant, because we are united with him in friendship. The Holy Father made the reminder at St. Peter's Square on Sunday in his reflection, shortly before reciting with the pilgrims the traditional Queen of Heaven prayer, also known as the Regina Caeli. Reflecting on this Sunday's Gospel passage taken from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17, in which Jesus explains his relationship with his disciples and the responsibility this entails, the Pope said friendship with Jesus is an indication of his love for his disciples, and this love requires that we live in love with one another.
L'amicizia non è frutto di calcolo. E neanche di costrizioni. Nasce spontaneamente.
The Pope explained that friendship is not the result of calculations, nor of coercion, but arises spontaneously when we recognize something of ourselves in another person. True love, he went on, is so strong that it does not fail even in the face of betrayal. Quoting the Gospel, the Pope said Jesus demonstrated true love even in difficult moments. For example, when Judas betrayed him with a kiss, he addressed him as a friend. A true friend doesn't abandon the other, even when the other makes mistakes, but he corrects him all harm and forgives. Jesus, the Pope added, tells us in the Gospel that we are precisely this for him. We are dear people beyond all merit and all expectations, to whom he extends his hand and offers his love. Because we are his friends, he shares with us what is dear to his heart, that is, everything he has heard from the Father. The Pope concluded his reflection with an invitation to the faithful to imitate the Lord by developing peaceful and caring relationships with others, and to continue the mission of Jesus by sharing God's love with those we meet. The success of our mission and our relationship with the Father, he said, is assured through our friendship with Jesus. On Saturday, Pope Francis received the pilgrims from Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, which will be marking the 750th anniversary of its existence at the end of October this year.
L'origine e lo sviluppo di questa città sono legati anche alla fede e alla Chiesa Cattolica.
In his address, the Pope told the Dutch pilgrims who represented the Catholic Foundation for the Promotion of Welfare Work in Amsterdam, the Russell family, and the rector and choir of St. Nicholas Basilica, that their city's founding and growth are tied to faith and the Catholic Church. The Holy Father recalled a key moment in Amsterdam's history, going back to the Eucharistic miracle of 1345 that is celebrated to this day with a silent procession and the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Pope Francis praised the different types of help that the Catholic Foundation for the Promotion of Welfare Work in Amsterdam, the Russell family, and the rector and choir of St. Nicholas Basilica offer to the poor, migrants, and drug addicts in Amsterdam, in collaboration with the Sisters of Mother Teresa and the Santo Egidio community, among others. The Holy Father encouraged them to continue their efforts in their city, praying that with God's blessing and inspired and sustained by the Eucharist, they may continue to give joyful witness to faith and concrete love and care that bears abundant fruit. On Saturday, Pope Francis received in audience the President of the Swiss Confederation, Mrs. Viola Amherd, who was afterwards also received by the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolini. A statement issued by the Holy See Press Office on Saturday said Pope Francis and Mrs. Amherd had cordial talks. She also had cordial talks with the Secretary of State, which focused on the good relations between the Holy See and the Swiss Confederation, and the project to renovate the barracks of the Swiss Pontifical Guards, whose generous service to the Pope and the Holy See was highlighted. They also shared ideas on international issues, including the war in Ukraine and the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. They committed themselves to promote peace and to the search for a diplomatic solution to end the fighting as soon as possible. The Holy See announced on Saturday that Pope Francis had nominated Father Peter Munguti Makau, the Provincial Superior of the Consolata Missionaries in Kenya and Uganda, to be the coadjutor bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Isiolo in Kenya. The bishop-elect is a Kenyan national. He was born in Nairobi in 1975 and took his first religious vows in the Congregation of the Consolata Missionaries in 1999. He took the final vows in December 2003 and was ordained a priest in November 2004 in the Diocese of Machakos. Since his ordination, he has served in a number of capacities, including as a parish priest in the Archdiocese of Caracas in Venezuela, superior of Consolata Missionaries in Venezuela, and since 2019 as a provincial superior of the Consolata Missionaries in Kenya and Uganda. The Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolini has told Italian media that the reforms launched by Pope Francis since the beginning of his pontificate will not be reversed but will continue, although the implementation of some will take different forms in the future. The reforms are institutional, pastoral, and attitudinal. Referring to the ongoing synod on synodality, Cardinal Parolini said it is not simply an intuition, like some critics, including conservative priests and bishops, have said, but the fruit of continual prayer in the Spirit. He added that the synodality spirit will show the Church how to continue and what to make institutional. The Cardinal made the remarks a few days ago when he was launching a book with the title Five Questions That Agitate the Church. The book asks, to whom does the Church speak today? How can the Church respond to the decline in religious practice? Is openness to the laity and women real or just a disguise? How can the Church speak to modern people about gender, the beginning of life and the end of life? And what will happen to the reforms undertaken by Pope Francis? The Cardinal concluded his remarks stating that the Church is always reforming in the sense that it must always be brought back to its proper form. The Catholic Church in Africa celebrated the Feast of Mary, Mother of Africa, also known as Our Lady of Africa, on April 30th. The feast is marked on the eve of May, which is the month of the Rosary. The African continent was dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary by the missionaries at the beginning of evangelization. Bishop Jose Ponce de Leon is the ordinary of the Catholic Diocese of Manzin in Eswatini, the former Swaziland. He explained to Vatican Radio the meaning and the implication of Mary, Mother of Africa.
The feast brings to our minds and hearts the strong role of women. In the same way that we see the strong role of Mary in the Holy Family, we see it also in the life of our families, but also in the Church. Women keep families together as they go through many challenges. They never give up. Eswatini has a refugee center. We are in the very south of the continent. These are people who travel from the Great Lakes. And when I was there for the first time some years ago, I was surprised to see families women, men and children. And it brought me that image of the Holy Family and the flight into Egypt. The reality of refugees is very much present in our country, but many times also ignored. We don't really see it. And I believe that thinking of Mary, Mother of Africa, is also a call to look at the reality of refugees with new eyes. But not only at that level. I would say that the joy, the commitment, the generosity, the initiative of women in the church is clearly God's gift. They are the ones who nurture the faith in their children, who keep the faith alive in their families, but also that keep the church really growing all the time. I think also the celebration of Mary, Mother of Africa, is a call to respect the dignity of every woman. The dignity of women is very much hurt by gender-based violence, which unfortunately is not just a local tragedy in our country, but goes all across the continent and to different continents also. It's a dignity that has been so much hurt that we need to raise up our eyes to Our Lady of Africa and help us to look at women in a new way and really treasure God's gift into our lives, in the life of our family, society, and the church.
Bishop Jose Ponce de Leon, the ordinary of the Catholic Diocese of Manzin in Eswatini, the former Swaziland. The leadership of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, SECAM, has established a commission to examine some of the issues that were recommended for more discussion and discernment by the first session of the Synod on Synodality that was held here in the Vatican in October last year. One of the topics is the pastoral care towards persons in polygamous marriages. The Secretary General of SECAM, Father Rafael Simbine, said last week that the commission is made up of mainly theologians from different fields. Their report will be presented to the bishops of Africa during the next SECAM plenary assembly, scheduled to take place in July this year in Rwanda. If the plenary assembly agrees with the report, the issue of polygamy will be sent to the Vatican Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith for more discussions. The new Archbishop of Monrovia in Liberia, His Grace Gabriel Blamo Jubwe, was ordained on Saturday at the Sacred Heart Cathedral in Monrovia. The event was attended by thousands of the faithful, who included the laity, religious, priests and bishops from Liberia, the Gambia, Sierra Leone, Ghana and Nigeria. The new archbishop was born in 1958 in Nigeria and ordained a priest for the Archdiocese of Monrovia in 1983. He was appointed administrator of the Archdiocese in 2021, following the retirement of Archbishop Louis Jerome Ziegler. He was appointed Archbishop of Monrovia by Pope Francis on February 28th this year. He is the third Archbishop of Monrovia. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program, Family. Kenya is reeling from devastating torrential rains that have brought with it floods, death, injury, and forced tens of thousands from their homes. As if that was not enough, Cyclone Hidaya was expected to bring even more rains this weekend. Kenya is the country most affected, but there have been floods also in Tanzania, Burundi, Somalia, and Rwanda. On Wednesday this week, during the general audience, Pope Francis expressed his closeness and solidarity with the people of Kenya and East Africa. Kenya's Archbishop Anthony Muheria is the Metropolitan Archbishop of Nyeri. He says Kenyans are grateful to Pope Francis for his words, prayers, and closeness.
This is Archbishop Anthony Muheria of the Archdiocese of Nyeri in Kenya. We thank the Holy Father, Pope Francis, for his solidarity message that he sent to us on 1st of May in the wake of all the flooding we have been experiencing in Kenya. This is truly a great gesture of love of our common Father, in spite of so many other things happening in the world, that he has had this moment to send that word of comfort and to encourage us, even in these difficult circumstances that many Kenyans find themselves in the face of the very heavy rains that have poured out in our country. We thank him especially for the promise of prayers for the victims, those who have died and have lost their lives in miserable situations, tragic situations, and of course their families. That word of comfort from the Holy Father, we all unite ourselves with those words of comfort to the families that have lost their loved ones, to those who have lost property, to those who have lost homes, find themselves in a state of distress and disorientation. Like the Holy Father states, we are close to them and we are looking for many ways to come to their assistance, but above all, asking God to give them hope and courage to face life and to start anew.
Your Grace, from what you are seeing and hearing about the floods, how bad is the situation?
Kenya normally experiences two rainy seasons, one around March and the other around October of each year. On average, in the whole country, we receive about 900 millimeters of rainfall, on average, some places more than others. This year, however, this April, we have received almost double of what is a monthly average rainfall. There has been a huge precipitation and rainfall within 3 weeks. Nairobi, which normally has an average monthly rainfall of 150 millimeters, has received well over 350 millimeters in just 3 weeks. What has then happened in the country is that this tremendous rainfall that has happened all at a go, very heavy rain for long spells of time, has caused all the rivers to flood. And more than we have ever experienced before, it is a bit of the repeat of the phenomenon of the El Nino that we had some maybe over 25, 30 years ago. And this causes that all the infrastructure is not prepared to receive that kind of rainfall. The rivers have gone flooded and gone over the bridges. The places where the drainage of our cities, all of our towns, cannot in any way cope with this type of water surface runoff. And so even the roads in our cities have become rivers, flooded. And this has meant that the whole infrastructure has been brought to its knees. But really the more painful is that downstream, when all these rivers go towards, going towards the Indian Ocean, on the downstream of the rivers, there has been tremendous flooding. These are areas that normally don't even have bridges, but have drifts because they are seasonal rivers. But those seasonal rivers have become bigger than any river, ordinary river that we have. And unfortunately, the imprudence of our people and people wanting to move from one place to another has caused many people trying to cross these rivers to be washed away. We've lost very many people washed away by these floods, trying to cross rivers, some through vehicles in areas of Makueni, in areas also of Garissa, some through canoes, a canoe which capsized trying to cross these very strong current rivers. It capsized as it was trying to cross the people. We lost almost 30 there. Then others who are also trying to cross other rivers in other parts of Western Kenya. In the Nyando, it has come in the flooded houses in near Nairobi in the city as well. Even the drains have carried many people in the slums, those who are living very near the rivers. And then it has also caused certain structures to give in and collapse. And those structures which were built perhaps on areas which are prone to rivers and water, riparian areas, have collapsed. So we are really faced with these tragedies from all sides. The worst of all and most recent is the one in Mai Mahiu in Nakuru County, where the water which had been contained is not sure whether it was a dam or just an embankment that had contained the waters of the rain. It gave in and there was a flood of water and mud that swept an entire village. So far, they say more than 50 people lost their lives in this mudslide and this washing of the water. And this is very painful. Unfortunately, our response to the disaster has been very slow. And I think that is one of the lessons that we are learning from this disaster, that we need a more flexible, more agile and responsive disaster response so that we could save a few of these people who have been victims of these incidents. There are already 190 people who have lost in these floods by one way or another. There are many still in hospital. And also the amount of property that has been destroyed, houses, crops, vehicles, a lot of people have lost a lot of property, and certainly they are broken and they need to be uplifted, encouraged.
So far, what is the local church's own response, and what kind of appeal would you like to make for the badly affected areas?
So far, we have already experienced a fantastic response from our Kenyans and in our dioceses. We see certain efforts from the government and from other non-governmental organizations trying to assist. No doubt the Kenya Red Cross has helped so much, especially in trying to retrieve the bodies of those who have been trapped in these mudslides. But we wish we had more personnel to be there standing by these people who are broken as they discover and they the loss of their loved ones. But we want to stand with them. We as the Catholic Bishops of Kenya, the Kenya Conference of Catholic Bishops, led by our chair, Archbishop Maurice Muhatia, have called upon all Christians in Kenya to make a contribution and to contribute whatever kind, blankets, mattresses, clothing, utensils, foodstuffs, whatever that can help these our brothers and sisters who don't have shelter, who are in the cold, and the rain continues. We'd like to make this appeal to all organizations the world over who can assist in a very specific way to assist these people who have been really badly hit by this tragedy. We first of all just need the basics. We need blankets, we need clothing, we need the shelters. This could also just be tents, if at all, or things that can, for the time being, in some areas, give people a place to stay.
First, it was a devastating dry spell and drought, but now it is the floods. With climate change, many of the world's most affected are countries that are the least polluters. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it also comes in the wake of climate change discussions, these erratic weather patterns, these extremes that we're experiencing should also make us commit even more towards environmental care and climate change or climate securing and care for our Mother Earth, and see how we can start regaining vegetation and planting trees, caring for pollution. Some of the drains are blocked because of plastics and other things that have been thrown, or other rubbish that is thrown out, bottles, water bottles, etc. If we can hold hands in truly impactful environmental programs. So we also appeal internationally, come to us, and especially with the churches, with the faith-based organizations, we can be able to do a lot more and give value of work for what contributions we get.
Any last words?
Once more, we want to thank Holy Father Pope Francis for his care and his love. But let us always feel close to one another. Let us pray for all those others who are really suffering and perhaps with little assistance, Christians or not, people, brothers and sisters like us, in all parts of the world. Let's come to their aid. Let us pray that the Lord may console them and that the Lord may give them a new hope, and with us as his instruments, give them that tender accompaniment that they so much desire in this moment. God bless you all.
Your Grace, thank you very much for your time. Kenya's Metropolitan Archbishop of Nyeri, Anthony Muheria.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program, at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our features, Echo of the African Synod and the Millennium Appointment. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.